You're listening to Wake Up Tucson. This podcast is a Bustos Media production on The Voice. Be sure to subscribe wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts.
Oh my. Do my Lieutenant Sulu. Oh my. You're on Wake Up Tucson, 10:30 The Voice. Local news and talk. Christopher DeSimone, Barney Brenner. Good morning to you, sir. Welcome back. There
Thank you
go.
You, sir.
There he is. And we had a great time with the great Dan Shearer. Someone did send me the picture of Matt Hines locked outside of the boardroom meeting, and it is just amazing. If you're friends with Chris on Wastebook, you can see the picture of Dr. Hines. Now, with the amazing part, Barney, is remember, he started off not at the meeting. He wasn't there during call to the audience. Then he showed up somehow on Zoom, but then he was caught trying to get in later, and he was locked outside of getting into the meeting he was supposed to be at, which is a perfect summation. Well, that and the Bikini Boy incident is a perfect summation of how much of a crappy supervisor he really is.
It reminded me a little bit of a Far Side cartoon years ago.
It's one of our favorites. Keep going.
It's going into the building is School for the Gifted, and here's a kid bent over 45 degrees pushing on a door that says pull.
Yeah, that's one of Matt and I's favorite. That's like a top three Far Side cartoon. I also like the one too where there's a deer and he's got his back up against a tree. He's standing up and there's a hunter out there, and he's literally saying to himself, "Now where do I know this guy? Why is he taking shots at me? What's going on?" Right? Kind of like that one too. All right. Remember, tonight is happy hour at the Fabulous Games and Gadgets Short Rest Tavern. So for all of you who had been there before, we had a great time the last time we were there, but since the last time we've all been there, he took over the spot next door. So he has expanded from that area. I bet he's quintupled or sextupled. Can I say, Matt, can I say sextuple on the air?
You
I
think just
I
can. Did.
Oh my gosh. We're in trouble.
Pick up on that.
Wow. I love it. So he has a whole space where the happy hour, you go into the bar and get your beer and things like that if you want a snack or something, but we're going to be next door in this big area he has where we're going to do trivia and we're going to confab together. So 5:30 tonight, Tucson Mall, right near the second story next to the Dead Sears. What you do is park on the north side, walk into the entrance right there, and you'll see it straight ahead. Just keep walking. Once you walk into that door, keep walking straight. You'll see a big yellow sign for Games and Gadgets, and you walk in and fade to your right. So we'll be there tonight, and I think it's going to be very fun. And are you going to be able to make it tonight?
Oh, yeah.
All right. I just want to make because, you know, we are doing trivia. We got to see doing trivia tonight.
Well, I have strong points and weak points.
Well, that's why we'll have teams.
Yeah, when it comes to media and music, movies. So you excel.
I don't know if I have time to do it. Mark wanted me to have like bonus questions that were specific wakey questions about the Wake Up Tucson history. So, for example, when we interviewed Donald Trump, I'm going to ask you this. You should know this.
I know it.
All right. We interviewed Donald Trump in 2012. He was pimping for now enemy Mitt Romney. Well, Mitt Romney does suck, so I'm there with you, Donald.
But he was running, and Trump got behind him.
Joe Higgins was on vacation that day. Who did the interview with Donald Trump with Chris DeSimone if it was not Joe Higgins?
Ooh, I just remember what you got Trump to say.
Well, we got him to say, Sharon Bronson, you're fired.
He left out the Bronson.
That's right. He said Sharon. Yeah. Sharon, you're fired. So
a little less effective. So that's a good question.
It was not Sean. Matt was saying it was Sean McCluskey. It was not Sean McCluskey. How's that? This is deep tracks, baby. Do I have anything to give away? Maybe I can get an oven mitt. So Joanne DiFilippo was here on Monday, as per usual.
She is just amazing. She is an encyclopedia.
She's an encyclopedia, and what she's very dangerous for local bureaucracies because she has the knowledge of where to find the dead bodies, and she is amazingly persistent.
And her analytical skills are off the charts.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
Can you imagine her as the county administrator?
Oh.
We would have a different Southern Arizona.
So I've had my wish list. Gilbert Davidson becomes the town manager, this county manager administrator, and you put Joanne in charge of the finances. That's I could change Pima County like that, right
good.
There. Even with goofy elected officials,
you could probably shave 20% off the county budget.
Correct. So what we're gonna do. So when she was here Monday, she was trying to explain a little bit of the machinations of the Mosaic Quarter. This is the ice rink, basketball court, mixed-use development that somehow Frank Knott, the guy from Mosaic Quarter, needs to do a private-public partnership, which we know is usually a loser for the, or almost always a loser for the taxpayers.
Redefine that as the government picking winners and losers.
And engaging with, not just picking, engaging with it with your dollars.
Facilitating.
So Joanne was trying to explain it, and she took styrofoam coffee cups for my, and she had pictures of here's the KDEV, which was not development, then there's this and whatever. And so what we're going to do when we come back, we're going to bore you to death with real knowledge about the real audio of what happened here. So Steve Christie asking real questions. And so I got my notes here. We got, he asked him about the financing because the financing isn't approved. And also when we get to the end of this, Adelita Grijalva, When she puts up the motion, reads the motion for them to vote on. It's so long and complicated. She almost fell off her chair by trying to read it all. Okay, it was the most complicated, crappy ass motion. It wasn't her fault per se. I'd have a hard time going through this as a motion. Okay, so we're gonna get to financing that they don't have, and part of the motion is they're enabling Jan to sign off on a lot of things without them because there's a timing of it, I guess. So we got that going for us. We got the question of the University of Arizona club hockey team, how much they're going to pay to play at the place, which I thought was an interesting number. I'll let you hear it. And then Steve Christie, because no one else will ask this question, if the thing goes belly up, what are the taxpayers on for? What are they on the hook for? So we're going to do this because I've been trying to figure this out. So we're getting there. Also, we found out with all of this and all of their greatness and 50,000 jobs, they're not going to break ground until 2027 now, which I thought was also fascinating. That was from an actual question from Rex Scott. Look at you, Rex. Look at you supervising.
That was an accident.
Barney Zinger. All right, when you come back, we're going to play you some real audio from the Board of Soups meeting, and it's Classic Country Wednesday. Can't wait to see all of you at Games and Gadgets at Tucson Mall tonight. Eddie Murphy does a good cover of this. You're on Wake Up Tucson, 10:30 The Voice, local news and talk. We're the only, so remember, we bore you to death with math on the air. And Barney did it without any use of robots, so that was great earlier when we found out that Mark Fincham's horrible email fundraisers that he sends to you three times a day, he's paying 72% of that to the actual sweatshop in Maryland, which is great. But let's get to, we're now going to really bore you with some Pima County board meeting, and this is Frank Knott from the Mosaic Cafe. Okay, my apologies to they're a bona fide business in Tucson. I apologize. Mosaic Cafe. Let's go to Mosaic Quarter. Quarter is the hockey rink, basketball court thing, mixed development that somehow Frank Knott needs to partner with the county instead of just paying a fair market rent on the dirt. We need to go into business together. So let's get to Steve Christie asking some questions. So, and thank you, Steve. Approved
the whole plan. We approved the whole plan, and it I think could have been assumed that what you just outlined was already in the plan and approved and worked out at the original time.
That's okay. You're okay. We're okay. These meetings are like 29 hours long, so here we go.
So directly to that question, the lease includes a provision that if financing is not completed, the county has the right to terminate the leases. So that's the direct answer to that question. The concept for how the financing was structured has been known and agreed upon between the county and Knott Development, even prior to the board approving the leases initially in March. So
we are talking about $1 billion with a B, right?
So, Supervisor Christie, Madam Chair, we're talking about $425 million financing for phase one of the project.
Okay. So, tell me again, why we're not putting the horse before the cart?
So, Madam Chair, Supervisor Christie, I would say that these are working in tandem and they're closely aligned. And so the financing structure was known by the county, and the county has been working directly with Mosaic Quarter Development and finalizing both the revisions to the lease document as well as the financing documents that will enable the loan to be closed. So we are confident in having worked over the last several months that the financing will close within the time period that is now included in the amended leases, which is that 20 business days. We are that close with the finalization of the documents to be executed for the lease to close. And I would just offer that this is working
as Carmine DeMotis, it was designed to work. County administrator.
It may come as a bit of a question as you've raised as to the sequencing of it, but we've been doing exactly what we had indicated upon presenting the leases to the board in March and then moving to get to finalization and closing of financing so construction can begin.
Administrator Lesher, did you want to jump in?
Chair Grijalva, I just wanted Mr. Knott is here from Mosaic Quarter, and I think he might want to.
Did you want to add any information anything to that?
I didn't see Kazajic anywhere.
Yes. A couple of other questions.
Sure.
He can answer
that question.
Sure. Whoever wants to answer. One of the foundational elements of the whole program, in my understanding, is that one of the anchors of the program was going to be the University of Arizona in its iceplex and its hockey. What are we charging the University of Arizona to have that naming right and that ability to have it presented as theirs?
Yeah, so Madam Chair, I'm going to go ahead and ask Mr. Knott to speak to you about the relationship with the University of Arizona.
Thank you, Chair Grijalva, members of the board, and Supervisor Christie. I appreciate the private sector experience you referenced from when you were back as a car dealer. And I think the analogy I would use, the statement I would say is, but for these changes to the leases, which are the result of finishing the financing is ready to go. And so the analogy I would use is, in your example of a car lease, is when you start to cut the deal with a dealer, you start going through the lease contract, there may be some changes that you need in terms of, you know, finance, warranties, and the contract still isn't done. It's pending some changes that might affect that contract and be additive to it before you actually sign it. And that's the situation we have here. When we had the leases approved in March, there were some extra changes that came about that we realized were necessary to those documents as a result of finalizing the $425 million in financing.
Just freshly found out at that time.
No, I think as you go through and you structure a complicated $425 million financing, you do, as you go through leases, you start to see, and other documents, and you start to see where some extra coverage might be needed in order to backstop the loan.
And you didn't see them before when the original lease came out?
No, I think we saw everything that was apparent at the time. And as you go through this process, you do discover things, or a request is made to make some changes that accommodate a lender, where you have to understand what you're dealing with then, how it impacts the existing documents, and then move to see what changes you can make and seek approval of those changes.
And Madam Chair, but theoretically, any one of those changes that you discovered during this process could have blown up the whole deal.
I'm not sure it would have blown up the deal, because at any time, or when you say blow up the deal, are you referring to the county's liability on it?
Whatever it takes for the project to move forward.
Yeah, I'm not sure that there's anything that would have blown up the deal, but right. would have made the financing a little more difficult. And things, as interest rates change, as the credit markets change on a daily and a weekly basis, you're going to have changes to a lease document like this that need to be made. And to answer your question about the University of Arizona, the university does not have naming rights to the Iceplex, nor any other building on site.
Do they have any financial...
They're a tenant at the Iceplex, and it is through campus recreation. It's not through the university's budget. I think it's important to note that for the club teams, which this is, it's not a part of NCAA athletics, those players, both the men and the women, actually pay dues that go towards the fees the university is paying us. And then there's also the ticket revenue, the merchandise revenue, for which we have agreements in place with the university. So it's not coming out of the university budget. It's actually coming out of their use of the site and their players coming out of their pockets to promote their teams.
And Madam Chair, Mr. Knight, you obviously are aware that right now the University of Arizona is not in the most prime financial condition, but you're saying this isn't coming from the university. This is a club type of situation that the club teams are.
So remember, club team. Wait till Frank gets how much he's charging them.
Facility.
So the contract itself is from the university through its Department of Campus Recreation. The funds the campus recreation uses to pay their portion of the lease are not derived from appropriations from the state legislature, nor are they derived from tuition dollars coming in from students. They are derived from a mix of dues that the men and women club team players pay, and also the revenues from sponsorships, jersey sales, merchandise sales, ticket sales that the that campus rec will generate from the use of the building.
And Madam Chair, Mr. Knott, what do you estimate that revenue to be?
I can't tell you what their revenue is. I can tell you what
the revenue to
correct
the project.
Yes, it started. The base level is around $750,000 a year.
All right, right there, we're good. So when we come back, I'm going to give Barney how many home games the Arizona Ice Cats play, and we're going to divide that into $750,000. And Barney is going to go like that and give me a per game price on how much Frank Knott and the Mosaic Quarter is charging a club. All right. You know, I made this list at 4 something this morning, and it's so amazing that it came up during the Mosaic Quarter discussion, The Gambler by Mr. Kenny Rogers, Kenneth Rogers. Let's go to the 230-10, the taxpayers on the hook question by Mr. Supervisor Stephen Christie. Oh, while you're doing that, Barney, are you ready?
Uh-oh.
Frank Knott from the Mosaic Quarter at the meeting said he's going to charge the base rent. Base, he said base. So as we like to say, but wait, there could be more. Okay. $750,000 a year, a season for the Arizona Aztecats, which he was telling you, he was all worried that the U of A is not going to pay it, right? And it's just coming out of the fees of the students, right? And what they get. So Barney,
how many games?
I said Aztecats. Now there are, so he's going to charge them $750,000. How much he's going to charge the Cats again?
$100 million.
No, Dr. Evil. $750,000 a year season for the Ice Cats. Barney, they play. I was looking at their calendar of their previous season, and they play 18 home games. How much is Frank Knott charging the Ice Cats per game?
Just under $18,000.
You blew that one.
How many home?
18.
Oh, 18, just under 40,000. I had it backwards.
You're okay. It's $41,000 a game, home game, that Frank Knott is going to help those poor students paying fees to play hockey.
I was still off, just over $40,000.
Can you feel the love tonight? Trust me, they ain't paying $41,000 at the TCC. We're going to help them with a fundraiser that's going to get ad sales off the rod. They'll pay it easy. $41,000 for a club team to play per game to play hockey?
I got to look it up.
What would the ticket revenues be for each game?
Well, we'd have to find out how many the thing holds. I mean, if it's more than 7,000-8,000, I'd be in shock. So, I'm sure it's a discount. I'm being too gruff here. So, I'm sure it's a ganga, as we like to say. So, but $750,000 a year. You know, I was going to say, I mean, I don't know if Matt's how much are the Roadrunners paying to be at Rio Nuevo at the TCC? And if you're the Ice Cats, why would you go to Knott's place? The other thing about this too is the Roadrunners are probably going to go away after this year. So I'm going to tell you, Fletcher and the crew would probably want you back at the TCC. And they're playing with our taxpayer dollars anyway. I'm sure they'll give you a hell of a deal. Anyway, I was like, I'm just an ignorant barbarian who doesn't understand that $750,000 for 18 games for a club team's a ganga. I'm sure it's something like that. So, all right, Matthew, we got to scoot ahead to 2 hours, 30 minutes, and 10 seconds. And this is, thank you again, Supervisor Christie, for being the only one who asked a question on behalf of the taxpayers. Matt, I know Matt Hines wanted to get, but he was still banging the door and not getting into the meeting. You know what's great? I was showing Barney. I put the picture on Facebook, and one of our Facebookers, Marcelino, did take the picture from South Far Side with the School for Gifted pushing the door. Now, if I have time later tonight or tomorrow morning, I will Photoshop Matt's head on the kid trying to push the door in the Far Side. I'll work on that.
Yeah, did I mention that to you off the air?
No, on the air.
Okay.
See? It's all a blur right now, this thing. It's moving so fast, Barney. All right. Let's go to Steve Christie asking questions on behalf of those lowly taxpayers.
Taxpayers be on the line, on the hook for if this whole thing went south.
So, Chair Grijalva, members of the board, Supervisor Christie, I'm glad you asked me that question.
Me too.
Because it is vital in terms of this analysis. When I was here on March 5th, there was an analysis we gave that was kind of a doomsday analysis of 40% of revenue disappearing overnight, and that what would that do given the reserves that we had built into the project, and when would the county start to have liability under the leases, financial liability, and how much would that liability be? Within these amendments are included, additional safeguards financially that Mosaic Quarter Development is providing. So we have done it. After March 5th, we had a lot of interest from different groups in town, a lot of different contractual users that want to be in the site. And so that's caused us to reevaluate when do we think, with our facility management experts, think that there could be a catastrophic event that occurs, whether it's external or internal to the project. And we view that with our experts as being 3 to 4 years after opening of the Iceplex. And so what we did was we said, okay, well, what happens during that 3 to 4 year period? We're actually going to be doing phase 2 and phase 3 during that time. And so what we voluntarily agreed to do was put an additional $52 million of cash into the debt service reserve that stands as an extra buffer to the county. So when you combine our $20 million in cash flow, a $42 million reserve that's already in place for phase 1, and $52 million more, you're talking about 140 $114 million of buffer that covers the debt service should revenue fall precipitously by 40%. Now, what does that mean for the county? In my March 5th example, it was that that would protect the county for a period of 17 years, but still leave the county with $71 or $72 million of potential liability. With these new reserves in place, that time period is extended to 22 years, and the financial exposure to the county is reduced to $42 million. Now, I will say that that analysis assumes that we just sit and do nothing and just wait it out and don't make changes, don't make staff changes, don't make programming changes. We don't try to fix it. With an experienced facilities management team that runs 10 different sites.
It's enough of Frank. So, yes, there's reserves and all that, but in the end...
we're getting stuck.
So in the end, he literally just told them that the county, in a worst case scenario, the depending on how he does his reserves, the county taxpayer is on the hook for a minimum of $42 million. Did I hear that wrong? It sure sounded like that's what he said. After
that's
all,
a
the
worst case scenario.
Right.
Now, let me ask you this.
Yes, sir.
What is your estimation that somewhere near a worst case scenario is going to take place on this, just like Worldview and other
it's
county
high.
Endeavors.
It's high. For the number, again, remember, this is the guy who told you 45,000 jobs created through because of the wonderfulness of Mosaic.
That's in all of Arizona, right?
this is whatever assumptions they use through whatever software. They use the highest assumptions humanly possible. And so even if it's over a 40-year period or 20-year period, that's still too high, $45,000. Okay? So again, $42 million, what he just told them, is the city at minimum, if it goes belly up and they go through their reserves and all. But in the end, it's still a $42 million liability to the county taxpayer. That's what, and he did you a favor. It used to be when it was a 4-0 vote. Steve wasn't there in March. It was only a $71 million hit to the county taxpayer. And Rex Adelita, the guy who was trapped outside of the room, and Sylvia Lee all voted for it. Come on, have we learned nothing? Have we? All right, so we got some research done, thank you, sir, on the Rio Nuevo. So they're waiving the rent payment for the Roadrunners this year. Okay. Now, is the $60K the, let's see. So here we go. Barney.
So they said they're going to waive the wording in the article. They're going to waive $180,000 annually towards rent. Is that the entire rent that the Roadrunners pay to TCC? It's not clear.
Got you.
$60K. They're going to.
I bet they're waiving all of it.
$60K. They're also going to waive for their administrative office spaces, and they're trying to keep them here. They got them here this year, and they're saying next year. So they're hoping that's ongoing. But you know, who knows?
So,
but anyway, $180,000. It's not. 750,000.
So 180,000.
And I don't know how many games the Roadrunners play here, but we can look that up too.
Gotcha. So anyway, 180,000 Rio Nuevo waiving for the Roadrunners. Mosaic Quarter charging the club team that raises through ticket revenue and cupcake sales and their mom and dad's wallet $750,000. So.
Oh, it was, I'm sorry, it was 36 games. That's their home schedule.
So we could be, so what we're looking at is, right? We'll have to, so Rio Nuevo can, the Rio Nuevo kids, we'll have to, maybe I'll text Fletcher, see what he got for me. 36 games for $180,000 at the TCC that they waived, or 18 games at Mosaic Quarter for the Ice Cats for $750,000. That's what, again, we'll see how all this plays out. And we'll find out more about the. Was the $180,000 from Rio Nuevo just a partial of what they owed them for rent? I don't know. Probably it is. So, just saying. So.
That's only $5,000 a game.
Right. Thank you, sir.
Right on the money, I think.
So then Adelita does this. I could have her. We could have it on the air, but that's okay. She does this long, long, complicated motion that just tells you what a mess this thing, how complicated this thing is. And then Sylvia says, well, the good thing is, like in 08 when discretionary income bombed because of the real estate crash and blah, 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 people were still doing things locally with their kids. And Frank says that 12% of the revenues to make this success comes from out-of-town teams. Okay? I don't get that number either, because even if you want to go back to his 45,000 jobs created, I'm sure he's saying that between the hospitality, what's in the jobs, the revenue generated in the hospitality business from teams coming in there are part of that 45,000 jobs, which he'll never hit, and even with his things, okay, his assumptions. You have to have the travel teams. So you're saying there's enough action. I mean, you're charging a club soccer hockey team $750,000. I don't get it. My history with the county on these type of deals, I am, as you know, mildly dubious. And so now that I see that we're only on the hook for $42 million on the Mosaic Quarter campaign. I just, wow. Anyway, thanks for Steve Christie for stepping up for everyone else. Sylvia Lee, Adelita, and Matt Hines, and of course Rex Scott, they just think this is the greatest thing since sliced bread, and I don't think so. All right, we got to go to break. Listener Robert, I've been to a lot of Ice Cat games, and there's not a lot of people showing up for them other than an ASU game. Well, we'll be fine. We'll be fine. Frank's got a economic development committee made up of Zach Yenser, Rob Elias, and Joe Snell. He'll be fine. He'll be great. That's the other thing. He has this economic development committee with all these people who signed off on this thing. Well, why would you, if you're only going to make 12% of your money, a very small part of your money from outside sources, why would we need an economic development committee? Sure, fine. Is Joe Snell going to take him from put the blinders on from the airport when the site selector and take him right to the ice rink in the middle of nowhere and go, look, we got a hockey rink? You're on Wake Up Tucson. Sean and Dave, hold on. We'll get to you when we come back.
Nice pick, Christopher.
Yeah, once in a while, Chris, the old squirrel, the old blind squirrel finds an acorn once in a while. Let's get the cowboy Dave on. It just feels perfect to have Cowboy Dave on Classic Country Wednesday.
That's a good song by Bob Wills and the Texas Playboys, but Waylon Jennings, man, I went to Steve Chris. I called Steve Christie's office a couple weeks ago after you were talking about voter and monitors and stuff. And
yeah,
my representative is a non-representative. I'm in District 3 or 1, Sharon Bronson. So you call them and they just never call you back, and I got to leave a message. So, but Steve Christie, that the lady that answered the phone, she's a rock star. We were talking for 20 minutes. It's about life, and I tell you what, and Steve Christie used to sell Jeeps, and he signed the front of the paycheck, And I love Jeeps, man. If it wasn't for the Jeep, we'd probably be speaking German right now.
Well, and the Jeep's a total piece of crap now, but God bless you.
Yeah, I know. But old Jeeps. But I tell you what, I went into town yesterday, Chris, and it was like World War III, all the by IHOP, Bash's on Sunnydale. I had to go to DMV. And then coming home, the damnedest thing you ever saw, Chris, the traffic jam from Denny's, the west side of I-10, all the way to Tanks. It's nothing but landscapers and trailers full of trees.
I bet.
And I thought there was an accident. I said, my goodness. And then there's another Tanks on the East Speedway. So I imagine they were the same. And then the new landfill where they changed the name of it, the Los Rieros. Now it's the community center of Kumbaya, whatever they changed the name. So, but I imagine that thing is still too. But I tell you what, that it was the damnedest thing. It was like, what the heck? Is there an accident up for it? And I'm looking. So I'm in the left lane.
And it was everyone cleaning up the mess.
Kicking her wang yang.
All right, I gotta get the brush fire, Sean, before I run out of time, my friend.
Okay, brush fire, Taco Wednesday.
Yeah.
All right, talk to you later, Chris. Have a good day.
Thanks, Cowboy Dave. Have a great day. 790-2040. Brush fire, Sean. Happy Taco Wednesday.
Happy Taco every day in Tucson, Arizona, ladies and gentlemen. I don't have my Rod Serling voice on today, but imagine me, an aspiring drive-in owner, right? This will be my fifth business in this town, and it will be incredibly successful. Imagine me speaking the doublespeak that idiot just spoke in front of investors. Do you think I'd get laughed out of the room? Or would they all go, oh, this is a great idea. Let's all throw $1 million at this thing, and it will be the biggest, baddest drive-in, not in Arizona, in the Western United States. Can you imagine private business people acting like that and not getting laughed out of the room?
He's taking advantage of the situation, right? You have a county that has nothing but loser deals. They're a loser county with a loser city inside of it called the City of Tucson. And again, this is like, you know, it's at the end of the night and you're looking for someone to go home with, right? That's the desperate guy or girl at the end of the night. That's Pima County. Because here's the thing. So I assume the only way Frank could get the financing is that Pima County helps guarantee the financing, right? So it's not like, I assume that's the way this works, because if he didn't need the county, he would, and this was this amazing idea for the private credit markets, right? They would say, well, here's hundreds of millions of dollars. I can't wait to make money off of this with you, right? But he needs the county taxpayers, just like, you know, you're you need your parents to sign off on your car loan sometimes when you're a young person. We are now Frank Knott's parents co-signing on a loan, is what it sounds like to me.
Oh, no question.
So.
Well, if you want to equate private equity with government funding, look at your stupid-ass universities. I mean, would I be stupid enough to pull money out of my bank account and or my safe and invest in an 18, 19, 20-year-old skull full of dog crap to go to the University of Arizona and get a degree in underwater African basket weaving and think I'm going to get my money back?
Sean, as you can hear, Python is singing in the background, so we're running out of time. Thanks for the call, sir. Have a good day.
Guys, stay hydrated, man. It is bad. Keep the faith out there.
Thank you, buddy. All right, when you come back, Elon Musk wants to move everything out of California, and we're wondering what the Sun Corridor is going to come up for this one. Wake up, Tucson. What dead plant could they send to Elon Musk on this one? That's what I want to know. Wake up.